You are listening to Studio 41.
Hello and welcome to Quiz Time India. I'm your host and quiz master, Aditya. Thank you for tuning in. We have a great quiz lined up for you. We have a great quizzer today on the show and someone who's brought in some great trivia. But before that, there is the matter of the audience question from the previous episode. Here is the question.
I'm asking the name of a person. He started as a commercial artist. He's credited to have made the Tea Board of India's advertisement poster titled How to Make Tea. An honorary doctorate from Oxford University. Only the second person in his profession to be awarded so. He shares something in common with Claude Garamond and Stanley Morrison. His moment of inspiration came when in London he watched the movie Ladri de Biciclette. Who am I talking about?
That was Chandan Chatterjee's audience question, and the correct answer was Satyajit Ray. Surabhi Muralidhara was the one to give the correct answer, and if like Surabhi, you too would like to participate and answer the audience question, which is asked at the end of each episode, all you need to do is send in your answers to @QuizTimeIndia on Instagram and Facebook. Yeah. As simple as that. Now, before I introduce this week's guest, we at Studio 41 have another podcast which has come out recently, so please do check out Outside Off Stump. It is a daily cricket podcast which will be running through the duration of the IPL. Once again, Outside Off Stump, available on all streaming platforms. Now, for this week's quiz, our guest today is Titash Banerjee. Titash is a Kolkata-born quiz master. He has hosted more than 300 quizzes for schools, colleges and corporates. It was so much fun and an absolute honor to play alongside such an experienced quiz master. So much so that I needed some help to compete. The question in today's episode were courtesy Vipul Yadav. Vipul is an excellent quizzer himself and you can find his quizzes on Instagram @foodie_baba. I highly recommend checking out his quizzes. Now is the time for today's quiz. Welcome to Quiz Time India. Hello, Titash. Welcome to Quiz Time India. It's a pleasure to have you here. After having participated in your quizzes, it's good to have you with us on the podcast. How have you been?
Yeah, hi, Aditya. Great to be here. And it was wonderful to know about, you know, India's first quizzing podcast, Quiz Time India, and a few of my friends. I heard great things about the podcast from them, listened to a few episodes, loved it, and now I'm finally here. So it's great to be here.
All right. So Titash, what I'll do is I'll just quickly describe the format.
Sure.
Especially for those who haven't heard the podcast earlier. The format is quite simple. You and I both have a set of questions ready with us, and we will take turns asking each other these questions. So, since I'm the host, I'll go first. I'll ask you a question. If you know the answer, you can, well, obviously answer it. But if in case you need any hints, I'll give hints as and when required, as and when necessary. And together, by the end of this exercise, we both will get to know some interesting trivia, interesting facts, and hopefully our audience does the same. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Look forward to it.
All right. So, shall I start your first question? Shall I go ahead?
Bring it on.
All right, Titash. The first question starts with a man called Baljeet Singh.
Okay.
Or as he is popularly known as, Bali Sagu.
Okay.
Two musician friends in India thought they could do a similar job, if not a better job.
Okay.
And they started remixing Bollywood songs. Now, these two musician friends, they came out with a few albums. All the albums came under the name Dance Masti.
Okay.
The first Dance Masti album came out in the year 1996. Then came Return of Dance Masti in 1999. Then came Dance Masti again. And then came Dance Masti Forever. And finally, they came up with a Best of Dance Masti also. The title of their group, the group who made this, the two friends and another person who was there in the group, came from a John Lennon song. First of all, can you tell me which is this group? And then please tell me who are the two individuals who created this group?
Okay, this is actually something I know because I used to hear this group a lot during my childhood growing up. And I also know the third member who joined these two people to form another music directing trio. So I would guess this group will be called Instant Karma. And the two musicians would be Loy and Ehsan. I think those were the two people who collaborated to form Instant Karma.
Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Instant Karma was the name of the group. Instant Karma is the song credited to Lennon and Ono with the Plastic Ono Band. And you were right. Ehsan Noorani and Loy Mendonca were these two young, ambitious musicians who thought they could do a better job, if not a better job, a good job at remixing or doing their own versions of contemporary versions of old Hindi tracks. And they came out with a track, if I'm not mistaken, they came out with a track called Dil Kya Kare, which is of course a Kishore Kumar song. And Sony released it, it became a hit, and then they went on to do a whole lot of albums. One of the singers that they used in the albums, they used a whole lot of singers. There was Shaan, there was Zubeen Garg, Mahalakshmi Iyer, and of course there was another singer called Shankar Mahadevan, with whom later they collaborated and created a whole lot of famous tracks as Shankar, Ehsan and Loy. Well done, Titash. You just got off to the good mark, like got off to a good start.
By the way, even though I knew the answer to this, I did not know the funda about it being inspired from a John Lennon song, actually. That's something I really learned new from this question. So thanks.
I'm not sure if it was inspired, but it shared a name.
Okay.
So Instant Karma is a Lennon song, so I'm not sure if it was inspired from there.
Okay, nice question, Aditya, and now it's time for my first question. Let's let you see answer.
Yes,
this.
Please.
All right, so this question starts with a lady called Hannah, who used to work at a Starbucks. Okay, so she received a phone call in January 2007, and there was this gentleman who decided to order 4,000 lattes, okay? And then she did some quick calculations and she estimated that it would take around 48 hours to fulfill this particular order, because they're proud of their fast service at Starbucks, right? So they calculated that it would take them around 44 seconds to service each order. And so they worked out that to service this order of 4,000 lattes, it would take them 48 hours. And after this, what happened? Several fanboys started to order thousands of lattes via call. So this particular branch of Starbucks was really pestered, and people kept calling them and asking them for huge orders of lattes. Most of them were probably pranks. So my question is, so I just want you to know or want you to tell me, who was the person who ordered those 4,000 lattes in January 2007, and in what way was that particular call a first?
Okay, quite interesting. I'm thinking, why would someone order 4,000? What crowd are they entertaining that they need 4,000, you know, Starbucks order or latte orders? So my first thought was, maybe it's a fictional character. Maybe it, something like this happened in a TV show or a movie, and it led someone to think that, you know, how much time would it take? And that's how they came up with the mathematics of it would take 48 hours. And then you mentioned the word fanboys, so I'm just going to go with it. Maybe fanboys of that particular show or a movie, possibly. Am I on the right track?
No, actually. So it was a real person.
Acha. It was a real person. Okay. 2007. What could have been possibly be the reason for someone to order 4,000? Is it a politician by any chance?
No, it's actually not a politician. I'll give you a hint. This order of 4,000 lattes was also kind of a prank. That was also kind of a prank. So this person probably did not need 4,000 lattes, but he just had to make one call and decided, you know, Starbucks is something he likes. So he decided to order 4,000 lattes.
Wow.
And this is a very, very famous person. So, if you want to work it out, just think of something that a lot of us, or at least a few of us, use, which was launched somewhere in 2007.
Quite interesting. 2007. It could be my initial guess was Elon Musk, but you mentioned a lot of us use, so I'm not so sure if all of us or a lot of us use Elon Musk's products. The other thing which 2007 product we use, I'm thinking maybe a social media platform. Is it?
Not a social media platform.
Okay. Then who else is there? It's quite interesting.
So, if you want to work out the name of the person, I'll give you another hint. So, there was this movie which featured this person, or which was about this person and what he did. So, the movie starts with, him talking that or telling people that he's here to make a dent in the universe. If you can't make a dent in the universe, then why exist at all? So, think of a kind of a person who would make such a statement.
He exists to make a dent in the universe. Otherwise, why exist at all?
He was portrayed as saying that I am here to make a dent in the universe. If we can't make a dent, then what's the point of existing only? So, think of a person who would make such kind of a sweeping statement, or who, you know, thinks of himself as a revolutionary.
Interesting. And this person has already been played in a movie, and they created something in the year.
There have been multiple movies made on this person. And
wow,
there was this person who, if you have seen the show 2.5 Men, one of the actors in that show also portrayed this character.
I'm at a loss. There are lots of hints. The choices are so many that I'm kind of confused. I'm again thinking 2.5 Men. I was thinking Ashton Kutcher. Did he create something? Did he fund something?
Yes, Ashton Kutcher. What character did he play famously?
Steve Jobs.
Yes, Steve Jobs. Absolutely. Steve Jobs is correct. And in what way was this caller first?
It was the first call over an iPhone.
Yes, it was the first call made over an iPhone. Absolutely correct. He ordered 4,000 lattes, and obviously this is, there is no official confirmation of this, but this would have to be the largest single order ever placed on a Starbucks. And interestingly, the phone did not come out until 6 months after that initial reveal, during which, you know, Apple, you know, tried to frantically scramble Jobs' demo into a mass market gadget. And when it finally hit stores in June 2007, Apple sold 270,000 iPhones the first weekend it was available, and hit 1 million by Labor Day. So, yeah, this was some interesting trivia about the iPhone.
You know what? The reason I didn't even go towards Jobs and iPhone, because iPhones have become such a, you know, ubiquitous thing that in my head somewhere, I imagined, of course, it can't be just 13 years old, right? It has to have existed for a long time.
Right.
So I didn't even go into that chain of thought that it could actually be Steve Jobs making the first call.
Right.
Amazing, amazing. All right. Titash, your next question is coming up.
Sure.
It's not one question, actually. It's a whole lot of questions inside one question.
Okay.
It's from the world of movies. It's from the world of American movies.
Okay.
So, there is this list which has been going around on the internet. This list was compiled by the American Films Institute.
Okay.
On their 100-year anniversary.
Okay.
And what they did was, they said for 100 years, the 100 most memorable quotes, film quotes. Just play along with me. Just tell me which movie these quotes are from. These are some of the most famous quotes in movie history.
Okay.
I'm the king of the world. Which movie would that be?
Titanic.
Great. Hasta la vista, baby.
Terminator.
Exactly. Judgment Day.
Judgment Day. Okay.
Houston, we have a problem.
Armageddon.
Almost there, in the ballpark.
Apollo 11 or Apollo 13. What was the name?
13 is the right answer.
13, yes.
The next one is probably one of the biggest spoilers. I see dead people.
Sixth Sense.
Correct. My mama said life is like a box full of chocolates.
Okay, this is my favorite movie. This is Forrest Gump.
Correct. You can't handle the truth.
A Few Good Men. Another of my favorite movies.
Correct. The next one is A Census Taker Once Tried to Test Me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti. Which movie is this?
Okay, I ate his liver. Eating the liver of a person might be about a cannibal. So is it The Silence of the Lambs?
Absolutely. So the reason why I picked these movies were because these were all the 90s movies which made to the list.
Okay.
But there was one 90s movie which made it to the list twice.
Okay.
At number 25 and at number 52. It had two quotes, two famous quotes.
Okay.
Which led it to be on this list twice. Can you tell me which famous movie is this?
From the 90s and two quotes.
Yes. It's the only movie from the 90s which has appeared twice.
Okay. So, I'll take a very obvious guess and I will guess Shawshank Redemption.
Nice guess, but no. That is probably one of the most famous 90s movies. Yeah, but
I mean,
no.
Great 90s movies, that's probably one of the first that comes to mind. Schindler's List, maybe?
Again, no. Again, a good crack.
Hints, please.
You need a hint? Yes. It's a romantic comedy. You can put it in a rom-com genre. It's a romantic comedy slash drama.
Okay.
That's what I would call
sure.
it.
Romantic comedy, then maybe I'll guess Notting Hill.
Again, a good, but no.
Okay, what are the other good romantic comedies? When Harry Met Sally, maybe?
Again, I think, was that 80s? Possibly, maybe early 90s, but no.
Early 90s.
I like how all your hints are like great movies, which could obviously be the answer, but they are not the answer.
Okay, next hint, please.
Alright, so I'm not sure what hint can I give about the movie. The movie was directed by Cameron Crowe. Let's just start from here.
Cameron Crowe?
Yeah.
Romantic comedy, famous romantic comedy. Okay, you've got mail.
Close. Really close, but no.
Oh, close. Okay.
As in a good hint, good guess, but
is it
not
close because
the
actors are the red?
No. It's not really close, but it was a good guess. That's what I meant. It
so
was
then
a good
my
guess.
Next guess would have been Sleepless in Seattle.
Again, a good guess, but no. Okay, let me see. The movie was nominated for 5 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Best Actor, and the only one to win an Academy Award from the movie was an actor for the Best Supporting Actor.
Maybe it is Goodwill Hunting. Robin Williams won the Best Supporting Actor for that.
Titash, you are really impressing me with your movie knowledge. All your movies are so excellent 90s movies, but no, it's not even that. I'm really sorry.
Oh, okay. Best Supporting Actor. Okay, let me run through the list. Best Supporting Actor, Romantic Comedy.
I think it's the only Academy Award the Best Supporting Actor the actor has ever won. He appeared recently in a HBO series, if I'm not mistaken, where he played HBO or a Netflix series, where he played a rather infamous character whose name is in the name of the show. That's a very oblique hint.
Scarface, Pacino, Scent of a Woman. No, that would be Best Actor, no? Not supporting actor. That's not a romantic comedy.
Yeah, Pacino won for that.
Yeah, that's not a romantic comedy. No, just escaping.
Alright, so the movie was... Okay, I can tell you the movie, you can tell me the quotes then.
Sure. Okay.
The movie was Jerry Maguire. By Tom Cruise was there.
Oh.
And Cuba Gooding Jr. was the guy who won the Academy Award for Best Supporting
okay,
Actor.
Okay. Really, I have not watched that movie, so I don't think I'll be able to tell you the quotes.
Alright. The quotes were, number one, show me the money.
Of course.
Which Cuba Gooding Jr.'s character keeps repeating, show me the money. And the other one was, you had me at hello.
Right.
So at the end, in the end of the movie, if I may ruin it for a few people, Jerry Maguire, who's played by Tom Cruise, goes to woo Renee Zellweger, and he has this extremely long speech, which he starts by saying hello, and then she retorts that you had me at hello, you didn't even need that speech. But that was the correct answer. So Titash, you were in the ballpark.
So, which was the HBO series that you were referring to?
That was People vs. O.J. Simpson.
Okay.
HBO Netflix series. So, Cuba Gooding Jr. played O.J. Simpson in that.
Oh.
Recently, yeah.
I have to check that out.
By the way, yeah. Can you tell me, there's only one movie in this American Film Institute list. Only one quote, rather, which is just one word. Can you tell me which one is it? And this is from one of the more Hollywood classics.
Oh, I thought I was going to say Always by Snape in Harry Potter.
Again, a good guess.
Okay, so you're saying it's like classic, no?
It's from one of the classics of American cinema.
Movie would be Gone with the Wind.
I think Gone with the Wind got the most...
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. That would be the first one.
Yeah, that was the first in the list, as in by popularity. But the one that I was looking for, just one word, is Rosebud.
Okay, in?
Rosebud is the name of the sleigh from Citizen Kane.
Oh.
So, that in the movie, if you watch the movie, this man dies and his last word is Rosebud. And throughout the movie, you're trying to explore what is Rosebud. So, it's one of the most memorable quotes, rather.
Hey everyone, this is India Wants to Know, India's first panel quiz show. We have a fun quiz called 2020 A Year in Review, hosted by comedian Ashish Shakya on this Sunday, the 20th of September at 3:45 p.m. on Zoom. You have answers, witty puns or facts. We have prizes worth 10k for it all. And you can win on every question. For tickets, go to insider.in and search for India Wants to Know or IWTK. We hope to see you all there. Do check out our YouTube channel, India Wants to Know, for more fun quizzes.
Oh, he's knocked him over! What a ripper! What a good piece!
Hello and welcome to Outside Off Stump, a cricket podcast bringing bite-sized analysis along with stories from the depths of our cricketing folklore, curated specially for the Desi cricket fan. The podcast is available on all streaming apps, from Apple Podcasts to Spotify to Google Podcasts to Saavn and Gaana. Also follow us on Instagram at @outsideofpod. This is a Studio 41 podcast.
Hey guys, I'm speaking on behalf of the Quotient Quiz Club, the official quiz club of PS University. With the Indian Premier League set to return this weekend, we present to you the IPL quiz. This is a short quiz that will go up on our Instagram stories at 6 p.m. this Saturday, that is the 19th of September. Reply to our stories and stand a chance to win an Amazon gift card. Our Instagram handle is @quotientquizclub. So we hope to see many of you there.
Okay, so I'll ask my next question. This is from world of sport. So this sport made its only Olympic appearance in 1900. Only a single spectator purchased a ticket to the event. A damning declaration by an official report of the Paris Olympics said, "This was a game with hardly any pretensions to athleticism." Okay? There was a gentleman named Gaston who was one of the gold medalists in this event. Now, the name of this event was confused by Americans with another sport that made its only Olympic appearance in 1900. Okay? But what you have to tell me is the sport where Gaston won a gold. Okay? Where only a single spectator came to watch, and about which was told that this game hardly had any pretensions to be an athletic pursuit. So which was this sport where Gaston won a gold? And just also think about the fact that Americans confused the name of this sport with another sport that made its only Olympic appearance in 1900.
When did Gaston, which year did Gaston win the Olympic medal in?
1900.
Both the American, the sport the Americans confused it also was in the same Olympics, 1900. Uh-huh. So why would Americans confuse Americans again? The language is English, but there are always these Americanisms. Something like what they call soccer, football. Is that something like that on play? Like the rest of the world calls something by
not one name? Really, not really. It's because they confused it because the names kind of sound similar and the spellings are quite close. Things like that.
So, if you could tell me the name, the other sport with which the Americans confused this Gaston's sport, is the sport still being played? Are either of the sports still being played in competitively at least?
Yeah. They have been played competitively, but not in the Olympic Games.
Neither of the two?
No. Not in the Olympic Games, but these sports are played competitively, of course.
I'm thinking Gaston would have won in a very unusual, since the reporter described it in such a way, it will be something like take a walk or like go to sleep for 10 hours or eat so much food.
No, nothing like that, but he did win in a sport which is pretty boring to watch. And yeah, it's not one of the very popular sports, I would say.
Ah, interesting. I'm imagining it's something which is extremely slow and...
Yeah, it is quite slow. Yes. Shall I give a hint?
Please give me a hint.
Okay. So the sport with which the Americans confused Gaston's sport is very popular in India.
Is quite popular in India.
Not the one which Gaston won, but the sport with which it was confused with.
So isn't there a story of cricket being an Olympic?
So the second sport is cricket, but... What sport did Gaston win gold in?
Gaston play now. Interesting. What did Gaston play? Another sport sounds like cricket. Similar letters, you said.
Yes.
And extremely slow.
Yeah, pretty slow. Yes.
Something like a racket. Is there a racket in there? Racket something?
Getting warmer?
Racketball or something?
No, it doesn't but have I'm the imagining word there'll be... racket in it. But ket is a sound that is there in that sport's name.
Ricket or something like that?
No. So, shall I give out the answer?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so this is a sport called croquet. So, C-R-O-Q-U-E-T.
Croquet, yeah.
Yeah, that's a very slow sport. And interestingly, one interesting fact about croquet would be, if you see Wimbledon is played at the AELTC, which stands for the All England Lawn Tennis and Croquet Club. So, that's an interesting fact about croquet. And it somehow looks a bit like golf, but obviously the rules are different. And croquet was played only once in the Olympics, as was cricket. And in cricket, of course, Great Britain won gold, beating France. And it was only one match, basically. There was no qualification rounds, no quarterfinals.
There were no other teams also, for that matter, I'm assuming.
Yeah, absolutely. It was one single match. And Great Britain won. And I guess there were very few players in that team who actually went on to play first-class cricket at all. So, yeah. So, this was indeed croquet, which was confused by Americans with cricket.
I wonder if that has ever happened in Olympics, that only two teams participated and there has been no bronze medalist in the entire thing.
You know what? I think, I'm not so sure, but in the early years, I think 1904 or 1908, there were, sprinting events or, running events where one person won gold by just being the only participant in the final. Okay. So none of the other participants turned up or they refused to take part. So during the first few years of the Olympics, it was pretty random what used to happen times. So, yeah.
All right, Sitash. So your final question coming up now.
Sure.
This question I found on a website called Live History India. If you're ever looking for fantastic historical stories from all across India, do check out this website.
Sure.
So the story goes that Agra went through a very bad famine in 1837-38.
Okay.
Almost 160 years ago, or rather more than that, actually 180 years ago. 1837-1838, and nearly 8 lakh people were affected.
Okay.
And approximately 10 lakh rupees was spent on flood relief.
On flood relief?
Yes, 10 lakh. Back in the day, 10 lakh was a huge amount, and there was a lot of loss of life and of revenue and things like that. The British East India Company, who was in charge, realized that to stop such a situation from arising again, what they need to do is they need a better irrigation system around Agra. How Punjab is basically the five rivers, Punjab.
Yes.
The area around Delhi is and parts of UP is Doab, which is two rivers. So Ganga and Yamuna.
Achha.
So what they wanted, the British wanted to do was to have an irrigation system in that area so that the two rivers can, you know, irrigate a whole lot of area. So what they came up with was a 500 kilometer canal.
Okay.
So the famine was in 1837. They decided to build a canal. And in 1842, 5 years later, the work started and they faced a lot of great engineering difficulties. So there was one Colonel Proby Cotley who was the in charge of the project, and he required more skilled subordinates to complete this project. Two reasons being, the people he was working with, which was the Indian laborers, they did not understand English. Things would get lost in translation. And the second issue was the extreme heat. The British officers did not want to stand in the heat, and it was a 500 kilometer canal. So what they thought was, it's a good idea to start educating Indian people into building a canal. What that entailed was setting up Thomson College, India's first engineering college.
Oh, okay.
So 10 years after the famine, on 19th October 1847, Lieutenant R. McLagan, aged 27, was appointed as the principal. Classes started 1 year later.
Okay.
I want you to tell me, how do we know Thomson College as of today?
So it started in 1847 and...
Yes.
1848 it started, right?
Yes, 1848. It started 1847. The principal was appointed and...
So how do we know that engineering college today, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I would guess... that canal in Delhi. So is this BHU, Banaras Hindu University? That's how it started. Sorry, Roorkee. Is this Roorkee? IIT Roorkee.
Why?
Because it's around the same area, right? And that's an iconic engineering institute. And I guess it would be around the same area where this would have been constructed.
Brilliant answer. You got it well. It was IIT Roorkee, which was earlier known as Thomson College, and later it became Roorkee College. Then in November 1949, Prime Minister Jawaharlal Nehru presented a charter elevating the college as the first engineering university of independent India. And in the year 2001, it was given the IIT status. And you're absolutely right, it was IIT Roorkee, which was the answer. So, the story of India's first engineering college.
Nice, nice. This was really good. This is a very nice question. It was very workoutable, you know. And frankly speaking, that answering Banaras Hindu University was a brain fade. And then I just recollected myself and said, no, no, it has to be Roorkee. So, yeah, it was a very interesting question. Absolutely.
There was a lot more in the article. The fact that this college or this university has existed for so long. So in the World War II, the convocation hall of IIT Roorkee was used to tour planes, harbor planes, as a hangar. And another interesting tradition about the college was, until 1990s, students were allowed to keep butlers in the college campus.
Okay.
That was one of the most weirdest stories I could find. Like IIT Roorkee, you could have a butler until 1990s. And one of the most interesting things about the college, there is the library, the central main library is named after Mahatma Gandhi.
Okay.
And it is said that the original edition of William Shakespeare's Comedies, Histories and Tragedies, which is collectively and popularly known as the First Folio, which was published in 1623, just 7 years after Shakespeare passed away, there were only 235 copies left in the world today. And one of the copies is at IIT Roorkee's Central, Mahatma Gandhi Central Library.
Oh.
And by the way, if you want to know how big a deal that is, in 2001, Christie's in New York auctioned one of those. Titash, I want you to take a guess for how much.
In 2001?
Yes.
$20 million.
Okay, I don't know how much that would be in Indian currency, but I will just give out the answer in Indian currency. In Indian currency in 2001, it was 44.15 crores.
Okay, I'm pretty close, I think. Is it? No.
So there are only 235 editions, and if you are an IIT Roorkee and you're listening to this podcast, please send us a picture of it. If they allow you anywhere near it, at least anywhere like 10 feet near it, do send us a picture.
Right.
And one final thing that I have from this question is about a college in Chennai.
Okay.
There's a College of Engineering in, if I'm getting the name right, in Gundi.
In Gindi.
G-U-I-N-D-Y.
Gindi. In Gindi.
Yeah, so they claim to be the first engineering college of India.
Oh.
And their foundation stone says it was laid in 1794. So almost half a century before IIT Roorkee. But that only makes it the oldest technical institution in India.
Okay.
In 1794, it was set up as a school of survey and made a college only in 1859. So for the first part of the century, it was a technical school. So if you ever want a quiz question on that theme, there is one. College in Gindi is the first technical institution in India.
Okay, that's... So it is disqualified from being an engineering college on a technicality.
Yes, yes.
Okay, okay. So, very interesting. So, I think it's only apt that I also asked my last question on India, since this was a very interesting fact about India that you shared. X is offered to this god as it is one of the five M's of tantric rituals. As per the priests of this temple, the other four rituals are performed symbolically but not actually offered. Although there are other deities who are offered X, the priests claim this is the only deity who can consume it. Part of X bought by the devotees is given back as prasad. According to priests, at times the devotees also request that the Lord be offered only a small amount of X. So what is X and which is this temple?
Is the temple in Gujarat by any chance?
It's not in Gujarat actually. It's not in Gujarat.
Uh-huh. Okay. I had heard this story during my engineering days.
Oh, is it?
And so basically what had happened was someone we knew had lost their wallet.
Okay.
And the wallet contained a whole lot of important documents like a PAN card and IDs and stuff like that.
Right.
So the person could not find their wallet. So someone asked, someone told that person, you know, there is this deity or a Baba. If you go there and you give certain thing as a offering, you will find the thing. And this person took it lightly and did it, and they did find their wallet. And the thing that they offered was old monk.
Ah, okay.
Is this somewhere on the right ballpark?
You are absolutely on the right track. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So, of course, it's not old monk to be specific, but it is alcohol in general, right? So, you are right. Absolutely. Kuch bhi. So, any sort of alcohol is basically the prasad in this temple. And which temple am I talking about?
That I really don't have an idea about. Where could it be? Is it one of the most famous temples that we have?
It is a famous temple. It is a famous temple, definitely.
I actually don't know, but I'm really intrigued about the whole description. Can you tell me what is this?
So
what,
this is the Kal Bhairav Mandir in Ujjain, Madhya Pradesh. So it's a very famous mandir there. And yeah, Kal Bhairav is of course a very aggressive form of Shiva. And the idol that is worshipped is, I'm not so sure, I've been there, but is it bronze? It's sort of yellowish in color and it's got a big mouth as an opening and the tongue sticks out. And so what happens is that when you go inside, the Purohit or the Pandit basically takes a sip of the alcohol himself, and then pours a bit of the alcohol into the mouth of the deity. And somehow the alcohol flows through, there's some inner channel or whatever, it flows through that channel, and there are a lot of alcohol shops or wine shops or beer shops just around the temple. When I went there, I was asked, by the people who took me there, my friends, do you want to buy some alcohol to offer to the god? I politely refused at that point of time. But but one interesting incident was that there was this lady who was carrying a thali and had a bit of alcohol on it along with other puja items like flowers and everything. So suddenly what happened was a monkey jumped in front of the lady, and then the thali dropped from the lady's hand and the alcohol was of course spilled on the ground. Then there were at least 8-10 monkeys who gathered around that place and started to drink the alcohol. So there's a lot of drunk monkeys also there at that temple. So, and just to clarify one point about my question. So I was talking about the 5 M's of tantric rituals. So those are Mans, Matsya, Mudra, Maithun and Madhya or alcohol. So this is one of the 5 M's of tantric rituals.
So Mas is meat, Matsya is fish, Mudra would be money.
Money, and Maithun is sex, and Madhya is obviously alcohol.
Interesting. Alright, so Titash, time for your audience question.
Sure.
This question, the audience can send in their answers to us. They can send in the answer to us on Instagram. Our Instagram ID is @QuizTimeIndia or on the Podcast Studio 41 handles, that is @PodcastStudio41 on Instagram and Twitter, and on Facebook we are at Studio 41. Titash, over to you.
Absolutely. So this question is a two-part question and it's from my favorite topic, that is cricket. So someone said, mate, they want you on that balcony pronto, else we could have a ruddy riot on our hands. So mate, they want you on that balcony pronto, else we could have a ruddy riot on our hands. This was Ken Barrington, the England manager, to the Indian captain, who had literally slept through arguably India's greatest cricketing moment till date. So who was this Indian captain who had slept off while India went on to record a memorable victory? And which was this famous test match, or just name the venue of this famous test match, during which an elephant from Chessington Zoo had arrived at the ground as well? So to whom did Ken Barrington said that they want you on the balcony pronto, else we could have a riot on our hands? To which Indian captain did he say this, who was sleeping at the time India recorded a famous victory? And where was this famous test match held? And one clue about this venue or which test match I'm talking about is that an elephant from Chessington Zoo had also arrived at the ground during this test match.
Thank you so much, Titash, for that question. I think the elephant image. I think it was Ganesh Chaturthi that day, which is why Indian fans...
It was.
...got the elephant to the ground.
Absolutely. Yeah,
the audience can answer the question. And I think that should... The hint would really help.
Sure. So, our handles across platforms is @ Gyan Space, which is spelled as GYAANSPACE. So on Instagram, it's also GyanSpace, @GyanSpace. Also on Twitter, it's @GyanSpace. And on Facebook, it's facebook.com/GyanSpace, GYAANSPACE. And on Twitter, you can also follow me at @QMTitash, spelled as QMTitash.
All right, Titash. So that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in to Quiz Time India. This is me, Aditya, signing off. And that'll be all for today.